Here's the bad news. I'm doing it again. Here's the good news. Once we hit our goal for our matching gift campaign at the end of the year, I'll stop preempting, well, me, I guess. If you are not yet a gospel partner, would you please consider joining us at this time? You can double your impact. We have a matching gift campaign going on. It is a big one. It is our desire to hit and, well, honestly, exceed that goal, because the more people give, the more we will do to get the gospel out to university campuses, social media, TV, and radio. We want people to be saved. And if that is the type of ministry that really lights you up when it comes to giving, well, would encourage you to visit our website, fortisinstitute.org. Check us out. See all the things that we're doing, all the people that we're associated with. And it is my hope, as the year draws to a close, you'll help us hit that goal by becoming a gospel partner. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory, but on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hi, we are doing another live street witness encounter. We're going to talk to people about their faith in God and the afterlife. There's a guy that I'd like to catch up with who looks, what's the word I'm looking for? Interesting. He's without a shirt and he's full of tattoos. And I'd like to talk to him about his belief in God. This is our one day a week where we go out into the street and witness to people to see what they believe or don't believe about God. And this guy has got some stuff that I think might be very interesting for us to hear. Excuse me. Hey, have you got a minute to talk to me on the radio? Would you be willing to talk? Cool. What's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan, nice to meet you. My name's Todd. We're talking to people today about the afterlife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of cool, huh? First of all, you got to tell me about all these tattoos that are on your body. What's going on here?
Just got some ink.
Like the skulls? Any significance?
That's personal.
Just personal stuff. So tell me, do you have any beliefs about the afterlife? Like what happens to you when you die?
You're just dead.
You're just dead. Don't go anywhere.
Nope.
No heaven, no hell?
Nothing.
What about God?
What about him?
Do you believe in God?
Not really.
How come?
I don't know, man. Just never really thought about it. It all seems a little like a big fairy tale, kind of.
You ever go to church as a kid?
Yeah, it's confirmed Lutheran.
But you didn't believe it?
No, not really. I don't know.
What do you think about the idea that God might judge all of us when we die?
I guess if he's there, maybe that's what they say. I don't really know.
Okay, so if he's going to do that, how do you think you're going to fare?
I'll probably go to hell.
Wow. Really? You think that?
I got a box seat with Hitler.
You got a box seat with Hitler? Well, that's not a pleasant thought. What do you think hell's going to be like?
I don't know.
Does it ever concern you that the place might be real?
Nope.
Really? So the thought of spending eternity in a miserable place doesn't trouble you at all?
Why be scared of something that's probably not even there, you know? Why worry about it?
Probably. I mean, it's probably it might, right?
Not in my mind.
Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
Probably not.
Why not?
It's my eye, man. I can get another one.
It's real precious, isn't it? What about, would you sell two of your eyes for $2 million?
Nope.
Because they are really important to you, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
How much more important do you think your eternal soul is compared to your eyes?
You know, I've offered that thing out. I've said, you know, to anybody who wants it, they can take it. You know, give me some money for it. I'd do that. Be like a rock star or something and go around like Motley Crue.
So you don't care about your eternal soul?
Not really.
I don't believe in it.
Do you want to live or do you want to die?
I'd rather live.
How come?
What do you mean, how come?
Well, I mean, you want to live right now, right? In your body?
Yep.
So why aren't you concerned about living when you die?
Because I don't believe in that, man. I don't believe in an afterlife. When you're dead, you're dead. You're just dead.
And nothing changes that.
No, that's what I believe, man.
Okay, so let's just for yucks, let's just say that God has you before him and he's going to judge you for eternity.
Yeah.
And he says,
You ever stolen anything? Ever lied? Ever looked at a woman with lust in your heart? Ever disrespected your parents? Ever blasphemed my name? What are you going to say?
Yep.
Yeah. And so do you think you're going to be innocent or guilty before God?
I'll be guilty.
All right. So you think you're going to go to hell?
More than likely.
Dude, you really are that cavalier about it?
Yep. Yeah, I guess. We're going to hell. Oh, well.
You know what? I don't believe you. I'm sorry. I just don't believe you. I can't believe that you wouldn't sell your eyes for $1 million, but you're willing to let your soul go to hell.
Well, you know, my eyes and reality is right now in some fairy tale and my spirit.
So what evidence have you considered to help you conclude that it's not real, that God doesn't exist, there's no afterlife?
I don't really know. I guess I'd have to think about that one.
Have you pondered it much?
Not really. I don't really think about God and the big picture, I guess. I just try to go to work and make some money and have a good time.
So your eternal soul is weighing in the balance, and you haven't taken any time to consider it?
Nope.
But nonetheless, you've concluded that it's not real.
That's right. It's not real.
But without any evidence, you've concluded that.
Yeah, I just think we're just a bunch of evolved, I don't know, ants, you know. Just we're on this big rock and the
Okay, so if I had evidence for you, would you be open to considering it?
Sure.
All right, let's take a look around us right now. Here, in fact, I'll tell you what. See back there, up on the wall, that big Brits pub, that big painting?
Yep.
Who do you think put that there?
Hopefully the Painters Union.
Painters Union put that painting there. Okay, what about the building that it's on? Who got that building there?
Hopefully that's some union shop.
A builder?
Builder.
Okay, so a painting put the painting there. A builder put the building there. What about these trees right behind you? Who put those there?
I imagine they got planted or something.
Okay, so where did they come from, though?
It came from the earth.
And where did the earth come from?
I don't know. Really don't know.
Well, if we're going to be consistent and conclude that a painter put the painting there, a builder put the building there, who put the creation there?
Here. Oh, yeah.
Well, it seems to follow logically, don't you think?
I don't know, I guess. Sure.
I mean, would you imagine that that building just appeared over millions and millions of years?
No, probably, like I said, probably a contractor put it there.
Okay, so why would you think that this beautiful sky, the clouds, the sun, everything that you see, just got here somehow randomly by chance when you don't even believe that that painting got here by chance?
Yeah, I don't even know. I think there's got to be an answer there, but I don't think it's God. I really don't.
Okay, but don't you think, now you're because you're pretty young, and it's probably not a concern, death and dying and all of that, but if there's a designer and if there's a God to this whole planet and he put it here, don't you think it's worth a few minutes of time to consider, I wonder if he's really there, and if he is, just what exactly does he want from me?
Yeah, I suppose.
Can I share a little something with you?
Sure.
All right. Where do you work, by the way?
Doing a job I called in today. I was hungover. Called, said I ain't coming in today.
So you're hungover right now?
Very hungover.
Okay, I want to share something with you, and you can be on your way, all right?
Sure.
When you wake up feeling really lousy from drinking too much liquor,
yeah.
I want to tell you what the Bible says about a place called hell.
Okay.
Not even close. As miserable as you feel when you wake up hungover, let me tell you, this just pales in comparison to what God says hell is like, all right? Because he says that he's going to judge everybody. When they die, the Bible says you're going to be absent from your body, present with the Lord, where you're going to give an account for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, and he's going to judge you. And you've confessed, you're going to be found guilty. And he says that guilty people, idolaters, adulterers, blasphemers, they're all going to spend eternity in a lake of sulfur, where this hangover would be like a joyride in comparison, all right? And I don't know who you are, I don't know where you're going when this is all done, but I just assume you didn't go to a place like that.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm glad you're looking out for me.
Well, I'd hate to see you go to hell, and I hope that you would consider what it's going to take to get yourself out of that hot seat. Do you have any idea what it might take to not go to hell? According to the Bible.
I have no idea.
Do you remember anything from confirmation about Easter?
You know, I cheated in confirmation.
All right, what do you know about Easter?
What's that?
What do you know about Easter?
That's when Christ came back. He's risen.
He's risen from the dead. Why do you think that happened?
I don't even know. I don't even believe that either, but...
I know, but why do you think that happened?
I don't know. I can't remember, really. Why did that happen?
Well, the Bible says that he's God. He's God's son. And he came to this earth, and he was brutally murdered, and he was put on a cross, and he died. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, went back to heaven. Do you have any idea why God himself would be brutally murdered and put on a cross?
I have no idea.
You cheated a lot in confirmation, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Because this is like the basics, man.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really pay attention that much.
Okay, so Jesus died on a cross because God said that if you're not perfect, he can't be in heaven with me, because he can't have sinful stuff around him. And the only way that he could have you with him for eternity, or me with him for eternity, is if somehow all of the sins you committed, they were somehow paid for, that they were atoned for, that instead of you being punished for them, somehow somebody took your sins away. And that's what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross, so instead of you being found guilty, he took the punishment so you can go to heaven. What do you think of that concept?
Well, about burning in hell, you know what they say, you'll be too busy shaking hands to, with all your friends to worry about it.
Well, that's a nice idea, but that's not what it's going to be like, and I think you know that.
Heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it here. So,
All right, that's the concept. All right, that God wants to save you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be saved, and he wants you to spend eternity with him. And so he made a plan in Jesus Christ so that you don't have to go to hell. Very basic. It's really simple. You broke the law. Jesus paid the fine.
Probably did break the law today already.
Yeah, but we're talking about God's law, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
There's a lot. All right, what do you think about what I just said to you?
Same old
basically. You know. Same old stuff. You're not interested, are you? Because life is pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a guy's days, that's for sure.
But the reality is you'd rather party and have a good life, even if maybe God does exist, because you just don't want to do what he says, do you?
Yeah, I'm kind of my own man. I like to do what I want, you know.
You've been really nice to talk to me this long. I appreciate it. Hey, can I give you a little thing to take and read with you?
Sure.
I'll bet you won't, but we'll give it a shot anyway.
Hey, I got a long walk.
You got a long walk. There you go, buddy. All most right. Important thing you can ever ponder in your whole life. Are you good enough to go to heaven?
No, I'm not. That's okay, but...
Well, here's your chance to change it, dude.
Well, it was nice talking to you, man.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks very much. Well, there you go. There's a young man who's 22 years old who hasn't pondered it for a minute and couldn't care because this is fun. Although he's walking through downtown Minneapolis without a toilet and without a cup of water. Sounds like fun to me.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do, we closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had three campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. You can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Give today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
New from Laodicea Records, A Jerry Lewis Christmas.
Silent night! Holy night!
All your holiday favorites with that famous Jerry Lewis twist.
Hey, lady! Santa Claus is coming to town!
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Jerry Lewis.
You're a mean one, Mr. Martin. You know, you really are a heel.
Order your copy now and receive a bonus copy of A Jerry Lewis Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah! Happy Hanukkah!
How can one man sing both Christian and Jewish songs? Does that really matter? Get your copy of A Jerry Lewis Christmas today and have a very Jerry Christmas.
Felicia Rashad! Felicia Rashad! Felicia Rashad, the lady on the Cosby Show. She played Theo's mom. Hello.
Did I mention we're at PV Plaza? That's where we are. And I'm having a little debate in my brain right now whether we should talk to somebody who is awake or somebody who's sleeping. There's a guy sleeping. Hey, will you guys talk to me on the radio? What's your name?
Lindsay.
How you doing, Lindsay? I'm Todd.
How are you?
Are you working and just taking a little break?
Yeah, a little break.
Okay, so we're out talking to people. You ready for this? We're talking to people about what happens to them when they die. What do you think happens to you when you die, Lindsay?
I think if you're good, you go to heaven.
Do you think you're a good person?
I am a good person.
So you think you're going to heaven?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you know if you're good?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's do a quiz, all right? Okay, let's do a quiz. How do you know if you're a good person? Have you ever told a lie?
Probably.
Okay, so if you've told a lie, what kind of person tells a lie?
Well, I only do it if it's good for the other person, if it's something that they shouldn't know. Like, if it's going to hurt them to know the truth, then I would tell a lie.
Okay, but if I told a lie, what would I be?
You'd be bad if it was a lie to your benefit, I think.
I'd be a liar, wouldn't I?
A liar.
Okay, so have you ever stolen anything?
Never.
Ever?
Ever.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Now, you just told me you're a liar. How am I supposed to believe this? Not a piece of gum, paperclip, long-distance phone call at work, anything?
No.
Oh, that counts?
Oh, yes, that counts. Hold on. We can do the test with you next if you'd like. Any not a piece of some money out of your parents' pockets when you were a kid?
Maybe. Something very small.
Oh, what did I just hear in the background? Okay, so there's some revealing information. Did you ever steal some alcohol from your parents' cabinet when you were a kid?
Back when I was a kid, long time ago.
Okay. How's about this one? As you're sitting here on this beautiful plaza, looking out over things, have you ever looked at anybody with lust in your heart?
Probably, but not here today.
Okay, but not here today. Nothing good today, huh?
No, no goods.
Okay, but you've done that before. So lying, stealing, and lusting after somebody in your heart, after somebody. You think you're pretty good? So let's just say you stand before God on Judgment Day, and he drills you like that, gives you the Ten Commandments. Like, I just gave you three of the Ten Commandments. Do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I think that God will forgive me for any little things that I've done wrong.
Well, first of all, let's establish if you're going to be innocent or guilty. What do you think?
Probably guilty, I guess.
Okay, so if you're going to be guilty, do you think that you're going to go to heaven or hell?
I'm still going to go to heaven.
When you're guilty? He's going to let guilty people into heaven? Why would he do that?
Because he's going to forgive me.
Why?
Because God forgives.
Because God forgives.
Why? So he's going to let rapists and murderers and blasphemers and not them.
No, I think that he's kind of got a continuum. And if you're like way on one end, then.
All right. We went through three commandments. How's about this one? Have you ever been angry at anybody?
Yeah, I've been angry.
Okay, the Bible says that if you're angry with somebody, that's the same as committing murder in your heart, because God judges the intentions of the heart. Yeah. So what do you think about that idea? So if God judges you and finds you guilty of murder, do you think you're still going to heaven?
I'm not going to be guilty of murder.
Well, that's what Jesus said, that if you look at somebody, if you're angry with somebody, that's like murder. And he also said that if you just look at somebody with lust in your heart, that's the same as committing adultery. So you've done those two things, and you're going to be guilty. Is he going to let you into heaven?
I don't know. Yeah.
Why?
This is so frustrating.
Well, really, I mean, this is kind of important. If it's true, you said that you think you're going to heaven. If you think that your soul's going to live on, And if it's possible you're not going to heaven, I think it's kind of important to figure out now, don't you?
Probably. So what are you suggesting I do?
Well, I don't have a suggestion right yet, but I'm just wondering why you think that God's going to let you into heaven if you've broken his commandments.
I'll figure that out. I'll figure that out and get back to you.
So you don't know right now?
Nope, don't know.
So do you think that the scenario that I'm painting is possible?
Yes.
Okay, so now can I give you my suggestion?
Okay, yeah.
All right. You mentioned Christianity, right? What do you know about Christianity? Specifically, what do you know about Jesus Christ?
Jesus died on a cross for our sins.
Really? That's an interesting bite of information. What does that mean?
It means that when he gave up his life for us, that he was washing away our sins.
Well, that's interesting new information. I thought you were going to heaven because you're a good person.
I'm going to heaven because of Jesus.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's how you need to get to heaven too. I think that's how you need to get to heaven too. Because the Bible says when you die, you're going to be absent from your body, present with the Lord, and he's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, everything that's ever gone through your brain. And you're going to have to give an account. And as you indicated, you're going to be found guilty. And unless you have somebody to pay your fine for you, you're in a world of trouble. And God's going to send people to hell for breaking his laws. And like you said, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, came to earth, died on a cross, took the punishment that you should get so that you'll be found not guilty on your day of judgment.
Okay.
Here's you agree with that? So here's the tricky part, though. What do you do with that information?
You do good for other people.
Okay, now, what do you do specifically with the information that Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you don't have to be punished?
Spread the word.
What do you do with it personally? Before you spread it, that little information that we just went through, what does that do for you or to you, or what do you do with that information?
I'm going to be a leader for a church group for high school students and spread the word to them and help them spread the word to their friends.
Okay, that's all good stuff. But this is the tricky part that a lot of people don't understand. And I'm gonna help you understand it by way of a story, okay? I want to put you on an airplane, and you're flying along at 35,000 feet. When the pilot comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for flying our airline. I have some bad news. The tail just fell off of the airplane. We're going to be crashing in just a few moments. Oh, by the way, there's a parachute underneath everybody's seat." Now, what would you do with that parachute in that situation?
I'm going to strap it on my back and live.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to put it. Why don't you just sit there and go, "Ah, yes, there's a parachute underneath my seat that would save me. I believe that," but you don't put it on. Why wouldn't you do that?
You have a death wish?
Exactly. You would, because it doesn't save you. Just believing in it doesn't save you, does it?
No.
Same thing is true with that information about Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's not enough to just believe in it, to go, "Oh, yeah, I believe that could save me." Because even the Bible says that even the demons believe that, and they tremble, but they're not going to heaven. So you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you'd put on a parachute, in order to be saved. All right? What do you think of that idea?
Great idea.
All right. So what do you think you're going to do with that information?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to wear it.
Okay, and what happens if you don't?
You're going to come back and haunt me?
Nope.
Then, I don't know, I don't have a good answer to that.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
22, you're very young. How long do you think you're going to live?
94,
so a long time from now. But it's possible that you could die today or get some really horrible news and die soon, right?
Right.
Okay, that's why this is actually very important. That's what the Bible teaches, that you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that when your day of judgment comes, and we never know when that is, you'll be right before God. So I would just encourage you to think about what we talked about and think about getting right before God.
Okay, I'll do that.
Do you know how to do that?
Where Jesus Christ.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you make that start?
I don't know. You better tell me.
Alrighty, as long as you've asked. What you need to do is find a quiet place, get before God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. I didn't know that you're going to judge me someday, and I didn't realize how poorly I was going to do on that day. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins because Jesus died for them, and I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I promise to follow you all the days of my life." And then he forgives you for your sins. You get up, you start reading his Bible, do what it says. And then you move from death to life, and you won't go to hell anymore, and you'll go to heaven to be with the one who loves you so much that despite the fact you broke his law, he saves you anyway.
Good. Sounds good to me.
You're being kind of sarcastic with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
All right. Hey, can I give you something to read on your next little break here? All right. I know you're 22. Are you good enough to go to heaven? Most important question you can ever ask. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. Okay, see ya. How can you stand sitting out here this long?
I don't know. I just love the sun.
Anna, do you have sunblock on?
No, none.
Ugh, you know, when I was 22, you could sit out in the sun forever. You sit out in the sun now for like 15 minutes, you're going to get cooked, you know?
Well, that's the...
See, I'm not just worried about your soul. I'm worried about your skin.
The plan is to be tan.
See, I don't want you to bake any place. That's what I'm getting at here. All right, hey, thanks for your time, okay? Okay, see ya. All righty. One of the things that I've noticed about these witness encounters, that when you follow this basic formula of, do you think you're a good person, walking somebody through the commandments, when you get to innocent or guilty, that's when it starts to happen. And when you finally get them to confess, I'm going to be guilty before God, their face changes, doesn't it? They get a different look on their face, like, oh boy, this, I don't know for sure where it's going, but I sense that it's not going the way that I want it to go.